During our first hour of conversation, we're going to welcome back to NBL Gary Thomas, best-selling author of the book Sacred Marriage. Many of you read that. Also, Sacred Pathway and When to Walk Away, which was one that we were actually talking about this time last year. Man, a lot of stuff's happened between now and then, or then and now, either way, however you say that. But he's got a brand new one available from Nav Press called The Glorious Pursuit. And this one really should strike close to home for all of us because it deals with the issue of how to become who God created us to be. So many times in life I felt, well, if I could just be like that NFL quarterback, you know, everything would fall into place. Or if I could just be like that pastor or that evangelist, you know, it would just be amazing. And how many people, you know, make idols out of pastors and ministry leaders and evangelists or best-selling authors or poets or professional athletes, and we try to be something that we were never created to be. Now, that's not to say that some listening right now may not play professional basketball in the NBA, but the reality is each one of us, listen carefully, each one of us were created by God, uniquely designed by God, in order that we might be able to carry out His plan and purpose for our lives. So who are we really, and what were we created to be? How do we become who God created us to be? That's the topic we'll be talking about with Gary Thomas on NBL in just a couple of minutes. And, of course, his brand-new book called The Glorious Pursuit. So I hope you'll be a part of that conversation with us on this edition of the broadcast. Lord, there's so much going on in the world, and sometimes it just feels like life is coming at us, not with a trickle, but with a fire hose or an avalanche. And in Jesus' name, God, I ask that you'd help us to slow down our minds and our hearts to be able to hear from you today, because we're going to be talking about the very reason you created us, the very purpose for which we exist on this planet. God, before we were even formed, you knit us together in our mother's womb. Before the thought even crossed your mind, you knew exactly how many days we would live on this planet, exactly what we would accomplish in the meantime. Help us to rest in that reality and learn what it is you're saying to each one of us as we endeavor to allow you to transform us into the person you created us to be. Not who we want to be, not who we think we should be, but who you created us to be, and help us to be comfortable in our own skin in that sense, realizing that there's no better place for us to be, no more powerful way for us to exist than to be the very person that you designed. So God, as we talk about the glorious pursuit with Gary Thomas, I pray that you'd lead our conversation in a way that brings you glory. Thank you for each and every listener today. Thank you that we can hear Bible teaching programs in the morning and get together and talk about what you're teaching us from your word in the afternoon. God, as we spent time in your word today, whether it was listening to the radio with other believers or in personal quiet time before you, you are speaking to your church today, and I pray that we would be listening. Help us to hear the still, small voice, God, that you speak with, and transform us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of our conversation today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.
Music for the journey home makes it so much easier to tolerate those insane traffic jams on the QEW, 401, 404, 410, and Don Valley Parkway. And we do this, of course, for our Canadian listeners, because we don't have traffic jams over here in Buffalo or Rochester, and I'm sorry to have to tell you that. Actually, no, I'm not.
All right, so here's a question that you can use at dinner time tonight to kick off the discussion. If you're looking for a good discussion question, here it is. What's more important, what God created us to be or who God created us to be? Okay. What God created us to be, in other words, you know, somebody who's an expert in taxes like Esther Goulias, we'll be talking with later on NBL, a radio talk show host, a pastor, as I mentioned, an NBA basketball player. What's more important, what God created us to be or who He created us to be? It's a great subject because that's at the heart of our conversation today. And some of the what may come into the conversation, but a whole lot of the who is going to be where we're going to focus most of our attention, just for the sake of having some direction and clarity in the conversation. And by the way, Dr. John Neufeld, who you hear every day on Back to the Bible, who, you know, the program that comes on right before NBL, is author of a new book that we're going to be talking about in the not-too-distant future called Making the Most of Your Salvation. Yeah, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're a part of his family for a reason, is what that means. And we'll have an opportunity to talk with Dr. John Neufeld about that coming up in the very near future. Well, Gary Thomas has been our guest a bunch of times on NBL, and we're going to get to the conversation with Gary here in just a moment. He's author of Sacred Marriage. He wrote Sacred Pathways. And as I mentioned before, just about a year ago, he was with us to talk about a powerful book called When to Walk Away. It's about toxic relationships. And you might say, well, wait a minute, it doesn't sound very Christian for a Christian to walk away from a relationship. But in that book, he outlined dozens of times when Jesus walked away from a situation or from an individual in order that he might more clearly and carefully, carry out the plan and purpose that God had intended for him. And so I urge you to get a copy of any of the books Gary Thomas has written. But how do we become who God created us to be? And if here's the thing, if you want to experience Jesus in new ways, but you feel frustrated when nothing seems to work, or you're getting discouraged by the areas of your life that never seem to change, and you're feeling down deep like you're not the person that you were meant to be, then you need to stick around, because that's going to be the nature of today's conversation. And at the end of today's conversation, we may be giving away a copy of Gary Thomas's book called The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. It's from NAV Press, and we'll take a close look at it when NBL returns on WDCX. Gary Thomas standing by. He joins us when NBL returns.
In the midst of a mess, a lifeline. Neil Boron, live.
Well, as I mentioned a moment ago, Gary Thomas is a best-selling author. He's been with us a number of times on NBL. He's been in our area speaking at a variety of different events. Most recently, he was in Toronto, and I'm going to guess it was January or February last year, but literally just about a month before the whole COVID thing locked down. And Gary, I don't know if you're taking personal responsibility for that, but we haven't been able to we haven't been able to cross the border since, man. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, I didn't come down with COVID till around Christmas time, so I wasn't even in the vicinity of infectious at that point.
Wow. Did it hit you hard, or just kind of the...
It's not like some that didn't feel it at all. I had some incredibly painful body aches, some headaches, and really felt tired for a while.
Yeah.
But for me, the flu was worse. I would have taken that over the flu. I'm thankful some have had it. Obviously, it's been fatal, so
yeah,
you don't take it for granted.
No doubt. Praise God you're okay. And it is a joy to have you back. I love having you on. We've talked about so many different books that you've written and things you've been involved in. And this one, The Glorious Pursuit, really caught my attention because it has to do with who God created us to be. And then the question has to be asked, are we living up to that? Have we arrived at that point? I know I haven't, so I'm excited to find out what's in the book. But I also said, Gary, just so you can help explain this, I said at the outcome, you know, what's more important, what we were created to be or who we were created to be? Like somebody might say, well, you know, I've always wanted to be an author. I've always wanted to be a missionary, and that hasn't panned out in my life, so I don't feel like I'm living up to God's plan and purpose for me. That's kind of like the what he created us to be. But this focuses primarily on the who he created us to be, and maybe you can talk about that for a second.
Yeah. Well, the very first book I wrote that's never been published and likely will never be published, I forgot about it. You just mentioned it. It was called Smoky Christians. I can't believe no publisher picked it up. Point was is that the ministry is the smoke from our fire. You build a fire, a life on fire for God, passionate for God, open to God, surrender to God. And then ministry is just the smoke that comes from the passion of your faith. So I would say I thought my whole life that who we are has to take precedent over what we do. And when we read the newspapers and see what happens when people let what they do get ahead of who they are, I think we can undercut everything we do if there isn't some semblance of integrity to who we are.
Okay, and before people dive for the button to switch the radio to a different station because they were hoping that we were going to say,
you know, here's exactly what God wants you to do, thus saith the Lord. Because you know that's happening, right? But how much of this plays into the what, in the sense of when we finally lock in to who God created us to be, my thought is that the what may just kind of fall into place.
Well, exactly. And it really, the glorious pursuit is about figuring out what you want to pursue in this life. I mentioned the start. My wife and I were at a retreat in Colorado a couple years back, and there were these hot pools. You go from one pool to the other, and there was, it's probably a bachelorette party or something, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
My wife were in one, and a group of women came in, and it was amazing when they just began discussing all of the medical options that women today go through to keep looking young. What they did to their faces, injected into their bodies. One of them said, you know, this is what all the Kardashians are doing. It was just astonishing. That was really the center of their conversation. We got into another pool just for Lisa and I to have some privacy, and Lisa said to me, does it bother you that I'm not into all of that stuff and that I'm not doing that? Neil, for listeners who don't know, we're well into our 50s at this point. And I just quoted to her from William Law, a favorite 18th century Anglican of mine, who basically said that we should pursue humility, patience, generosity, faith, compassion, courage, kindness, and forgiveness with the same intensity that those in the world pursue wealth, fame, worldly achievement, and physical beauty. Most people around it, they want to get rich, they want to look beautiful, they want to be famous, they want to be celebrated. And William Law, the Christian classics, and even more importantly, Scripture says, no, we should seek to grow. We should seek to be more humble, more gentle, more patient, more kind, more courageous. That the virtues are really the pursuit of our life into what we should become. It's a completely upside-down view of what we should be pursuing in our life from what I found even most Christians are pursuing in their life.
But, and by the way, amen, amen and amen. But in the age of Instagram and Facebook, how do we even get to the place of saying you're right? Because I agree with you, but I think that there are many listening who might say, yeah, but, I mean, but I care about how I look, and I want to not age too quickly. And if I'm premature gray, I want to color my hair. All I'm getting at here is that those could obviously be distractions and obstacles. So how do we make what you're going to be describing here today, the virtues, our, you know, priority?
Now, here's where I think what we value just runs up against what God values. It's a lie to say we want to be spiritually mature if we lust after the things that make us less spiritually mature. For instance, what the classics would say, a lot of them would say, that we hate the things that make us humble, like aging. That's a great example. Whereas if we value humility and something helps us grow in humility, we're thankful for it. And so he would say even losing a job, if it casts you on dependence for the Lord, if you're being attacked by others or whatnot, he goes, you can respond to it in a way that you realize, man, I'm growing in the Lord. I'm a different person than I used to be. And I would say, Neil, one of the examples I've heard so often that I could never say because I've never been through cancer, but I've heard at least three or four dear friends who have been through it said, in many ways, I'm thankful for the gift of cancer because I wouldn't be the person I was if I didn't have to go through it. And I've heard that time and again, not just with that, but with other issues, couples that have gone through an affair, couples who have lost kids, people who have gone through job losses or whatnot. When they look back, they say, at the time, I literally hated what was happening to me. Now, I'm grateful for what happened to me in the sense of what it helped me to become. That means they value the spiritual growth over their current comfort or fame or, you know, a superficial happiness.
It's amazing as you're talking, I'm listening and thinking about my own situation and our family and so forth. And a story we would say that, you know, that goes along those same lines would be when our kids went to Christian school. They were even homeschooled for a couple of years early on, but then they went to Christian school. And around the age of eighth grade, then it's, do we send them to public school or what are we going to do now? You know, keep them there. What are we doing? And we wanted to make individual decisions for each of our kids, really praying about it. And so you know, for each one, we made a particular decision. My son, Zach, we ended up sending him to public school, and he's my producer today at MBL. But I remember that the fear was, like, if he goes to public school, he's going to be hearing stuff that we wouldn't teach him, and yet maybe it's important that he hears those things so that we can help correct them before he, you know, gets out of the house. And we just prayed and felt, for Zach anyway, that it was the right thing to send him. But it was in public school that he got involved in drug abuse, and, you know, just on the tail end of that. And we would have never chosen that experience. But, you know, Zach grew up in a Christian home for a while. I pastored a church, so he was in a, he was a PK, and he prayed to receive Christ. He was a pretty sincere kid. I even baptized him when he was like 14. So getting into high school and then getting into all this stuff was, you know, his opportunity to find out what's outside the barn door, more or less. And he went out and sowed some wild oats. But, you know, it was the drug addiction that nearly took his life. And we've shared this openly on the program. Zach talks about it openly and freely because it's his grace story. But it was in the midst of that brokenness that he fully, completely, totally surrendered to Jesus. And he's married to a godly woman. He's raising a beautiful son, Zach Jr. And, you know, God's at work in his life. We would have never, Gary, we would have never chosen that he become addicted to opiates at that point in his life. But on the heels of it, looking back, we can see how God used it. And I think really any true believer could look at any instance in their life and say what I, the group I Am They, you know, says in the song Scars, you know, that we're thankful for the scars because they're testimonies of God's grace and goodness.
Yeah. I have a very wealthy friend who was in a lot of the video games and whatnot, and the day he said he lost more money than most people would make in 10 lifetimes, that he lost in one day, forever set him free from the love of money. Now, he's still very wealthy, but it's a different relationship because he realizes how quickly it can go. And for him, it was losing that money that set him free from the love of money, because he still stood strong. He still focused on the Lord, and now God is the love of his life, the Lord of his life. He's got a great marriage and whatnot. And again, it's all these things that we would never choose. But when we value who we are over what we do or what we have, there's literally nothing Satan can throw at us that doesn't make us stronger. We all know the passage in Romans that God works together for good those things that he has called according to his purpose, those who are created to be in his image. Because all of those things make us reflect who Jesus is, literally no assault can undercut our faith. It can undercut our bank accounts. It can undercut our beauty. It can undercut our health. It can undercut even a ministry in some places, but not who we are. That's a place of tremendous freedom and joy, security, and peace.
You say in the book, The Glorious Pursuit, which is the name of the book, The Glorious Pursuit is a call to live the truly abundant life as God defines it. Let me stop before I finish the sentence. When some hear the word abundant life, they think, oh, that means health, wealth, prosperity, success. So before you jump to that conclusion, let me finish the sentence. The Glorious Pursuit is a call to live the truly abundant life as God defines it, a life made possible by God's grace, empowerment by God's Spirit, and modeled by God's Son, who, by the way, laid down his life and shed his own blood for us. So, man, that's a little different take on God's plan and purpose for our life. But, Gary, do you... have you had any trouble whatsoever getting people to pay attention to what you're saying simply because it sounds so daunting?
Well, I think when they can see the freedom behind each one, and it's for those who are listening, it's really about practicing the virtues in the way that bodybuilders lift weights. The classic writers and the biblical writers believe that you identified certain qualities in Jesus, like gentleness, like courage, like patience, like love. And then you say, okay, I want to practice that. And the process of practicing it, you grow a little bit stronger. It's the same thing. You don't immediately get biceps by doing curls. It takes time and effort. You increase the weight and whatnot. We have such a passive approach to spiritual growth. Pray a prayer, you're forgiven, and then what does it really matter because you're going to go to heaven anyway? The classics valued holiness in a way that we valued salvation, and they saw the virtues as sort of the spiritual building blocks that helped us become more mature. So it didn't have to be by accident. It didn't have to be haphazard or passive. And so when you can tell somebody, you don't have to be a slave to your anger. You don't have to be defined by your impatience. You can become a courageous person. You can know the blessing of a chaste life if you've been having out-of-control sexual desire. And when they see that as freedom, sort of the overarching theme is that the virtues are God's tools to give us our life back. Because if you're impatient, it's stealing love from your life. If you're angry all the time, it's stealing your relationships. If you're discontent, it's stealing your satisfaction and your contentment. And so really, the virtues are God's tools to say, I want to give you your life back, the life I intended you to live, the abundant life that I want you to live, as you pointed out, speaking of spiritual abundance, not the prosperity gospel.
Yeah. Now, when we come back, by the way, let me mention, it was about this, where were we at? January 19th. It was early May last year. We had John Eldridge on. He had just written a book called Get Your Life Back. And it was about, you know, clearing our schedules so that we can make God a priority again and not be, you know, ruled by our cell phones and that kind of a book. And what was interesting was that at the beginning of the week we had him on. It was a couple days later they locked down our part of New York State, you know, with the coronavirus thing. Because the great obstacle at that point was, well, we'd all love to get our lives back and reprioritize and cut some stuff out that, you know, kind of has its grip on us. But when are we going to find the time to do that? And the Lord graciously provided all the time we needed. Everything forever was canceled. And God is good. Well, your first chapter is called Get Your Life Back. So I just want to say to the listeners, if you want to know how to get your life back in these areas so that our lives, each of our lives, can model things like humility and surrender, detachment, love, chastity, generosity, vigilance, patience, discernment, thankfulness, gentleness, courage, and obedience, all of those things, then I invite you to stick around because we're going to dig in and find out how to get our lives back in these areas. Gary Thomas is our guest. He's a best-selling author, and his book is available from NAV Press. It's called The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. I hope you'll stick around. He's also author of Sacred Marriage and a variety of other books. We'll talk about other resources when MBL returns.
MBL on WDCX, your lifeline to what's real and what matters.
Well, because none of us are ever prone to kidding ourselves about just how spiritually mature we are, let me just say this, that if in your heart of hearts you know that you are not yet who God created you to be, and I assure you I am not yet who God created me to be, then I urge you to employ a little bit of humility, which he talks about in the book here. And if even if need be, you know, change your name. That's okay. Well, let's just save face a little bit. Change your name if you want and join the conversation. But we're talking about some important issues like humility and surrender and detachment and love and chastity and generosity and vigilance and discernment and thankfulness and so many other things. These are the virtues that that he discusses in the book, The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. So let's dig in. And by the way, if you want to jump on board at any point, I'd love to have you join us with a question or a comment. Many of you are familiar with Gary Thomas and his writing, and I just want to say he's a wonderful brother in Christ. He's got so much to offer in terms of wisdom on these kinds of things. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we can say, God, I know that there's more you want to do in my life. I just don't know how to get there. So that maybe is the best way to start this part of the conversation, Gary. You know, how do we get there? How do we get our lives back if we're aware of the fact that the devil has got a hold on us somehow?
Okay. Well, this is where some people push back against me. I think the mood of the day is to be very passive in our growth, that almost to try to become holy is somehow sinful self, you know, independence. And yet Scripture's very clear. I think it's 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, it says this, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control." And it goes on to mention a number of the virtues, and then he adds, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So in Peter's view, trying to become holy and practice the virtues isn't about trying to save yourself. It's about trying to have the fulfillment of what it means to be saved. I don't know if your listeners have been able to watch any of the documentary on Tiger Woods coming up that ran, and how from the time he was literally a baby, his dad was training him to play golf like maybe nobody else ever has. And Peter is basically saying, look, you have the opportunity because of God's Holy Spirit, the direction of God's Word, the example of Jesus, the power of the Spirit within you, to become like the greatest human being who would ever live, Jesus Christ. In light of that, trying to become the world's best golfer ever pales in comparison. And yet, look, I've known some professional golfers, how much training they do, how many coaches they have. They have nutritional coaches. They have psychological coaches. They have swing coaches. Some of them do short game and putting coaches, all to try to become the best golfer they can be. I just don't see very many people in the church that think, I really want to practice the virtues. I really want to become more like Christ. It's more, I know I'm saved, and I shouldn't try to become too holy, or that's about pride, or like trying to save myself or win favor with God. When Scripture gives us a very different motivation, that it's a natural thing for a Christian to want to grow like Christ. It's a holy thing for a Christian to grow more like Christ. And I would say it's a very freeing thing to want to become more like Christ.
I was talking with a couple of people just a little while ago before you came on the air, and I was talking with them about, I don't know, like mile markers or milestones or something in our lives where when we look back, we can see that God was at work in a particular time or circumstance at that place in our life to develop us, to become more like Jesus. And I can clearly look back over my life and point to specific things and say, I know for sure that God grew me up in this place. He helped me in this one. And yet, Gary, I'm just being honest, I feel like I have so far to go to become like Jesus. Now, I know that God promises that we'll be complete when we see him, but I think that the reason I say that is because I think it's in our human nature to kind of want to give up before we get started. Like if somebody said, hey, walk from Buffalo to Mexico, and you go, well, that's like 2,000 miles. Okay, well, some would quit before they even get started, but if you're going to make it, you got to take the first step. So what would you say to get people moving in that direction?
I love that example, Neil, because really telling someone to become more like Christ is like, yeah, fine, tell me to jump to the moon, all right? That's about the same thing. But you can say, you know what, can you walk to the corner? And this is, yeah, I can do that. Well, the virtues are those stepping stones. The way the ancients looked at them, you just identify the characteristics of Christ and say, okay, that's what it means to be the purest form of a human as God created you to be. And you start practicing that. And you're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfectly humble, but I can practice humility. There are strategies, learning to put others first. I'm never going to personify gentleness, but I can practice gentleness. And here's the thing, neuroscience says, as I practice humility, as I practice gentleness, I become more humble, I become more gentle. And this can be revolutionary for relationships. I have a friend, he'd been married, it was about 25, 30 years at the time. And for a present for his wife on one of the holidays, I don't remember if it was a birthday or Founders or what, he said, my present to you this year is to respond with more gentleness. And my sister said, oh, man, what a terrible gift. He's not spending any money. His wife cried at the thought that she could have a more gentle husband a year from now than she had today. He knew it was an issue in their marriage. And you can't grow in all the virtues, but if you read the chapter in Genesis, you see how the Bible predicted that Jesus would be gentle. Jesus affirmed he was gentle. The early church remembered he was gentle. What does it mean to be gentle? Here's how you develop gentleness. You go through that. I don't know that this is a book that you want to read in a weekend. I think it's one you really want to kind of go through piece by piece. And suddenly you can say, hey, okay, now it's at the forefront of my mind. Here's how I can practice it. It's really like a marathon. You begin by running a mile and a half and then walking half a mile, and then the next day maybe you run 2 miles, and you slowly build up to a place where it becomes a part of who you are.
I don't want to say something that you didn't say in your book, and I don't know because I haven't read it word for word, but it seems to me that on the issue of humility, just as a for instance, that maybe the place to start with something like that is to simply admit that we need to develop these virtues in our life, which is hard, right?
Yeah. Well, I love that. It's great. I mean, that's really it. That, you know, I think it was Pascal who said there are only two kinds of people, sinners who believe they are righteous and righteous who know they are sinners. And I do think that spiritual growth begins with humility, because if we don't think we need to grow, by definition, we're not humble. It's only when we believe we need to grow that we're going to make every effort to grow. And there's some that say, you know what? This is what hit me early on in my ministry when I was interviewing people. I mean, I was just barely even published. I remember talking to a prison chaplain, and he said to me, Gary, I've never met a man, even on death row, who isn't convinced he's severely above average when it comes to to being a good person.
Yeah.
Because there's this hierarchy. Well, I might have murdered someone, but they kind of deserved it, but I didn't rape and murder, or it wasn't a child. It's amazing how we come up with ridiculous ways to excuse ourselves. But when Jesus is the model, Neil, when we're not looking left or right, I'm not comparing myself to people on death row. I'm not comparing myself to people who don't know Jesus. I'm comparing myself to Jesus himself. I don't have time to be judgmental of other people. I've got so many areas where I need to grow. I can't fault my spouse. I can't fault my kids. I'm just thinking, Lord, help me be a little more courageous today. I tend to be passive. I can be a wimp. I want to be known as a nice guy. For me, really growing in courage is important. For courageous people that are naturally courageous, for them it might be gentle. Maybe they're so courageous they never think about others' feelings. And so none of us are complete as Jesus was complete, but becoming familiar with the virtues shows us where we are weak, where we are strong, and sort of fill in the gaps as we go along.
Last thing before our break here, and by the way, if this is resonating with you, and I believe that it is in many of your hearts and minds and lives, then you are more than welcome to jump on board with any question, any comment. It's welcome here. Don't hesitate. And I am going to be giving away a copy of the book near the end of our conversation. Gary Thomas, our guest, he's a best-selling author. This one's called The Glorious Pursuit. But Gary, real quick before the break, I grew up in a really narrow kind of legalistic church. And, you know, so it was a lot of stuff like you never wear blue jeans to church on Sunday. Your hair has to be cut to a certain length. In fact, it couldn't touch your ears or you weren't holy. You couldn't listen to certain things on the radio or, you know, watch certain TV shows or go to movies or play cards and all that stuff. I think you're familiar probably with that mentality at least. But some people may hear, you know, growing in Christ, virtues, becoming mature in Christ, and think, well, what do I need to do on the outside that's going to be different? And I believe some of that may come into play. Some external behaviors may be, you know, addressed when we grow in maturity. But I'm looking at this list, and by and large, the stuff you're describing here are more internal qualities.
Yes, always. And that's where the focus needs to be, so that I act in a humble way. Here's the thing, Neil, where I'm terrible as a believer many times, because this is things we're growing in. It's when I'm in the car here in Houston. There must be a law somewhere that the first five cars turning left on a red light get to go through, right? And so when traffic is tight and things are bad, there's so much. But here's the thing. When I drive in a kind way and a gentle way, it's not legalistic to me. I have so much more joy and peace. I come home a different person than what if I'm fighting with 10 other drivers whose faces I can't even see on my commute home. And so I don't look at it as a legalistic thing, oh, I have to be kind and gentle. It's, Lord, I want to be thinking of you. I want to make somebody's day a little bit better. And I never come away in a vehicle fight. You know, I'm not actually fighting. I'm not cutting people off. But you know what I mean.
Right.
You get a little bit aggressive. I just think it's a better life to be kind on the road than to be, you know, vehicularly fighting. I don't even know what to say when you're on the road.
A road rager, yeah.
Right, wow. And it's the same thing for a guy coming home. You know, how am I treating my wife? How am I treating my kids? Is this how I want to? Because usually when we act like Jesus, there's this fulfillment, there's this personal joy and peace that is far more superior than the way the vices drag us down, make us feel shameful and guilty and regretful.
All right. In a second, Gary, I'm going to ask you how we can get the book and you know, any website or other resources and that kind of thing. So get ready to talk about that. But let me just say to those that are listening one more time, this book is about, you know, becoming who God created us to be, which ultimately means the transformation that needs to occur for us to go from where we're at to ultimately look like Jesus. And God is in the business of developing these characteristics in our lives and these virtues, as Gary has spelled them out in the book. So listen to this list as I read it and try to identify with at least one of these points. There may be others, but do you need to grow in the area of humility? What about surrender? You know, letting God have his way, in other words, being fully surrendered to him. Detachment, love, chastity, or purity, if you want to use that word, generosity, vigilance, patience, discernment. Do you need to grow in the area of thankfulness? What about gentleness, as Gary was talking about? What about courage or fortitude? Same word, that the idea that we would be courageous rather than fearful. What about obedience? Do you need to grow in the area of obedience? You also list penitence, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on so you can define more of what that's about. But the reason I'm saying this to those that are listening is if God piques your interest or pricks your heart about one of those words I just used or others that might fit in similar categories, then give us a call and just tell us the one word. And in telling us the one word or area you think you need to grow, Gary can comment on what he's written in the book about those things, give you a little bit of insight about what God might be saying to you about those things, and of course, provide you with some encouragement in the process. So just curious, but which one of those do you think best describes where you're at today? Needing to grow in humility, surrender, detachment, love, chastity, generosity, vigilance, patience, discernment, thankfulness, gentleness, fortitude, obedience. Let's talk about that. Give us the one word that pops in your mind, and we'll put your name in a hat for a chance to win a copy of The Glorious Pursuit from Gary Thomas. It's that simple. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. And Gary, I mentioned Cornerstone Bookshop earlier. They're in North York, Ontario. You've been in the North York area yourself, but up there in the Toronto area. But Amazon, Barnes & Noble, is there a website? Talk about that.
Well, I love it when people frequent local bookstores. But yeah, the book is available anywhere. My website, GaryThomas.com, they can read up on it a little bit if they go to the books button. But wherever they tend to get Christian books or regular books, if they don't have the book in store, they can certainly order it.
All right. Get your name in a hat for a chance to give away a copy of the book here to one of you here. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Check out GaryThomas.com. Get a copy at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or support the local Christian bookstore near you, including our friends at Cornerstone Bookshop.
Her arms are battlefield.
Darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. Get your batteries recharged weekday afternoons right here on NBL.
All right, let's get back to it. Best-selling author Gary Thomas, our guest. Many of you have seen him, particularly in Southern Ontario. He's spoken at a variety of different events in the Toronto area and across Southern Ontario. Wonderful brother in Christ. And any books from Gary Thomas I'd highly recommend, including Sacred Marriage and the one we talked about last year called When to Walk Away. I want to get to the phones here. And again, you know, think about what you feel God is saying to you regarding any of these virtues and or what you feel God is saying needs to change in your life. But you don't know where to go from here. Like, how do you move forward in the area where you're stuck? That's exactly what we're talking about today, and you're welcome to join the conversation. 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. All right, let me get to John in Toronto. John, welcome to NBL. What word, you know, you don't have to confine it to the words here, but what word would you say best describes the area where you think God is at work in your life that he wants to do some work in? John, are you with us here? Let me ask you here. We got hybrid two up. Okay. John, were you able to identify a word?
It was from the list, right?
I'm sorry. I didn't catch it.
You mean a word from the list?
From the list, right. If you could say, what word would you say best represents the thing that God's trying to develop in your life?
Christ-likeness.
Okay. Now, Christ-likeness itself isn't on the list, but that's okay. Gary, obviously every one of these issues describes Christ-likeness. So I think if any of us are going to be honest, we'd say, Lord, of course I need to grow in the area of Christ-likeness. But how would you respond to what John is saying here?
Well, what I like about the specific virtues is that it helps us grow in humility because we realize we don't have any of these cornered. And I think using Jesus, Christ-likeness, what I like about him mentioning that is, you know, I've met a lot of guys that think, you know, I wonder if I could play on the senior golf tour. You know, some mm-hmm. days I have a really good round, and then they get around a professional golfer who's playing the course that they play. They see how close they can put it, and all of a sudden they realize, no, I might have a good – compared to that guy, I'm a hacker at best. And keeping Christ-likeness as the goal helps us because we realize, you know what, I might be around a lot of angry people, but there's still a lot of anger in me compared to Christ and whatnot. So I do think Christ-likeness is great as an overall picture. It's just the virtues break it down so that we can see specifically, you know, for instance, golfer, whether it's your putting, your long game, teeing off, all of that.
Okay. John, appreciate your question. You're officially in the contest, by the way, for a chance to win a copy of the book. I mean, I appreciate you identifying one of the areas of your life. Question here from Glenn, off-air question. What do you mean by detachment? I read that word, Gary, and that one sticks out from the others.
Yeah, actually, I started to blog about it. If I go to GaryThomas.com and the Closer to Christ blog, I mentioned it's been huge in my life. The ancients thought that we focus on the sin, and the virtue of detachment says, how do I detach myself from desiring that sin? The reality is most of us will do what we want to do. And if we focus on the action rather than why we want to do the action, we're only going to have marginal success at best. So the virtue of detachment is learning to detach ourselves from lusting after money, fame, comfort, illicit sexual pleasure, all of those things, with steps just to say, okay, I need to become detached because if I am desiring it, the time's going to come when that's where I'm going to go. So for me, detachment was one of the key virtues to learn, one of the real blessings in my life, that I can assault sin before it becomes a temptation. I can look ahead and say, here's how I detach myself from that desire so that it won't be so strong when the temptation arises.
So then, to just follow that up quickly, we've got other calls to get to and another off-air question here in just a minute, but Where does that begin then? If you're going to say, well, okay, Lord, I know that you're putting your finger on detachment. Again, it comes back to, I mean, the typical question would be, what do I need to do?
Summarize the whole chapter, but part of it, and this might seem simplistic, but I think it's key. One of the best ways to fall out of love with somebody is to fall in love with somebody else. I talk about being unable to break up with this girlfriend in high school, and this wouldn't have been the healthiest thing to do, but you fall in love with someone else, and then it's pretty easy. And what I'm saying is, if we are not active worshipers, we're going to be enthusiastic sinners. If we forget the beauty of God, if we're not receiving the affirmation of God, if we're not overwhelmed by the glory of God, then we start to crave financial security. We start to crave human flattery. We start to crave worldly success. And so it really begins, I think, with finding our purpose, our worth, our meaning, our hope in who God is. That takes active and it takes consistent worship. We're like coals. You take them out of a fire, we cool down. And so it's staying in the fire of worship. Then it's thinking through those things. I love William Law. He had this brilliant passage where he talked about this man who spent his whole life with a goal to get 100,000 pairs of boots and spurs. And he did it right before he died. He had 100,000 pairs of boots and spurs. Nobody else they knew of had 100,000 pairs of boots. And everybody thought, what a waste to give your life to 100,000. Now, here's what he said. And 1,000 pounds, he said, what's the difference between that and somebody who's trying to get 1,000 pounds? Now, of course, 1,000 pounds back then was worth a whole lot more than it is now.
Right.
Pounds referring to European money. So, but so often we realize, you know, in the end, does what I desire really matter? And so you can think through it. I've seen so many guys that have wrecked their families with an affair and then come up and wake up and say, I just gave away the best thing in my life. I want my family back. And sometimes the wives are willing to have them back. Sometimes they're not. And you could go through every temptation like that and say, where does this road lead me? Is that where I want to end up? And so I say, no, it shouldn't even be a temptation. This isn't a temptation. This is an assault. I'm being tricked. I'm being lied to.
Gary, I just got to tell you this quick before we take our break. My dad passed away a week ago Saturday.
Sorry.
Thank you. But, you know, he was almost 93. He had dementia for the last 5 years of his life, and it got so bad that he didn't recognize me the last year of his life.
Aww.
And so, in a way, it was God's glorious healing for him, you know, to take him home and give him the opportunity to be right and whole again. But anyway, because he was in, you know, long-term care for a number of years, the things that he possessed, you know, became fewer and fewer. And when he would move from apartment to independent living, later to memory care and later to long-term care, you know, we got rid of more things with each move. And the other day, I went to pick up his possessions, and I threw out a bunch of the clothes that he'd worn because they were just worn out. And and I realized at the end of the day, there was a Tupperware bin maybe 18 inches long and 12 inches wide and 4 inches high. And all of my dad's possessions fit inside there. And the reason I bring this up is because it so clearly dawned on me that you can't take your yacht with you. You can't take your golf clubs with you. You can't take your, you know, 1968 Ford Mustang with you to heaven. What really matters is the relationship we have with God and with others. And I was so grateful to have a dad that never got caught up in possessions. He never owned much anyway. It wasn't like we were rich by any means. But I'm just saying that wasn't a part of what my dad was about, and I was so proud of him. It was sad in one sense, but I was so proud in another, and I think it was just a beautiful picture God gave me in that moment.
Neil, that is such a sermon. I'm so going to use that. I'll give you credit. But that is so powerful. I mean, the way that it just went through life, less, 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 until at the end, you know, just a Tupperware box. That's a powerful testimony of biblical truth. It's going to be true for all of us.
No doubt. Well, and I hope it's an encouragement to those of you that are listening. We'll be back. We've got a few minutes left with Gary Thomas, best-selling author. So of the various words I've mentioned, which one do you think most closely represents what you believe God's doing in your life? Winston, we'll get to you. We've got a comment from Joseph as well, and on to the rest of your calls, 800-684-2848 or 883-5000. Yeah, what about it? What area do you think God is most likely to want to work in your life? You know, humility, surrender, detachment, love, chastity, generosity, vigilance, patience, the list goes on. Let's hear from you.
Neil Boron Live? Frankly, I don't remember him any other way.
This is Neil Boron Live, and thank you for tuning in. Gary Thomas, our guest, and for those who want to connect with him in other ways, you've got Twitter, of course, his handle, at Gary L. Thomas, at Gary L. Thomas. He's on Facebook, author Gary Thomas on Facebook, and on Instagram, at Gary Thomas Books. He's got two website blogs at his website, GaryThomas.com, and of course his books are available everywhere, including Christian bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, a bunch of bestsellers that I highly recommend, including this one, The Glorious Pursuit. All right, back at it here. We've only got a few minutes left. I want to get to Winston in Niagara Falls. I think Canadian side, is that right, Winston?
Hello?
Hi, this is Neil. How are you? Are you on the Canadian side of the border?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. So what word comes to mind? If the Holy Spirit prompted you to call in, got to be something on your mind. Which one best applies here?
Yeah, I've been trying to call. I've been wanting to call for a minute. I listen to you every day, but I could never actually get the guts to call. But the word that comes to mind would be obedience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all can raise our hand on that one. Gary, obedience. And you have an entire chapter about this.
Yeah, well, Jesus said that the heart of discipleship is teaching others to obey his commands. When people said, you know, blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you, Jesus said, blessed are rather hear my words and obey them. Obedience really is a key component of the Christian life. To be a Christian is to be surrendered, not just to who we are, but what God wants us to do. And if most of us will look back honestly, this has been 100% true with me. The biggest stressors I bring into my life is an act of disobedience. It's not a legalistic thing. Every time I've done what I know God would not have me do, I've regretted it. Every time I've surrendered and done what I believe God did want me to do, even if I didn't want to do it, I've been thankful that I surrendered to that. So obedience has to be a thing where I'm no longer driven by what I desire, but by what God desires. That's when I really get my life back, because God is wiser than me. God has a bigger plan for my life than I do. God knows what he's trying to build in me in a way that I don't. And so it has to begin with obedience. I live deceived. I live with a fallen heart. I live with fallen desires. So obedience, I believe, really is a key to getting your life back. Not in a heavy-handed, legalistic kind of thing, but in a sense of, Lord, take off the chains and let me breathe again.
I don't remember what game show it was, Gary, but I remember watching a game show more like when I was a kid or maybe a teenager, and they would say, okay, well, pick a door, and the guy'd say, okay, I'll take door number two, and maybe it's a kind of a cool thing, and then somebody else, they'd say, do you want to take what's behind door two, or do you want to go for door three or door one? And the temptation is overwhelming to want to know what's behind those doors. And I'm thinking about Adam and Eve. You know, they only had to make one right decision. Just obey God.
Right.
Just don't eat from that one tree. But this is our human nature. And the stuff you're describing is so right on. But, man, do we need this characteristic developed in our lives? Because it's not easy to do.
Yeah. If I could get one word through to my 20-year-old self, I would even go back and say my 14-year-old self. It might be the chapter on obedience. Again, not as a legalistic thing, but Gary, this is God's way is always best.
Yeah.
You'll be blessed as you do it. And by blessed, I don't mean it's always going to be easy or without pain or even without consequence, but certainly from an eternal perspective, it's always best to do God's will.
Amen. Winston, thanks for joining the conversation. Joseph sent an email to NBL. You said it's the area of courage. It's hard to have courage, especially when fear enters in. And let me just add to that, Gary, this is the age of, you know, well, anything can happen. Because like a year ago, if we had said on January 19th, you know, all major league sports are going to be canceled and you're going to have to work from home and everyone's going to wear a mask everywhere. You're like, no way, that'll never happen. But it did. And so, you know, we're dealing with stuff like, you know, disease, and joblessness, and you know, relational problems, and suicide, and opiate addiction, and things that are happening in the midst of all this. Anyway, there's a lot of reasons to fear, but courage is something God wants to develop in us.
It's been the story of the church. I love to read the Christian classics. I've been reading Ambrose lately, 4th century Bishop of Milan, hugely responsible for Augustine coming to faith and then discipling Augustine. He had this beautiful treatise called On the Death of Satyrus. It was his brother, just a godly man who, when Ambrose was appointed bishop, Satyrus gave up his life to take care of all of Ambrose's worldly concerns so that Ambrose could focus on the church. And what Ambrose said there, that just put it into perspective what we're facing. He said, the one thing I'm glad about is that my brother died before the barbarians got here. He realized back then in the 4th century, the only thing keeping the barbarians from Milan were the Alps. And he knew eventually they would find a way to get around them or over them. Everybody knew it was a matter of time. They knew the stories of raping, pillaging, murdering. He said, our daughters, our mothers, and even our grandmothers will be... And he was right. I mean, Augustine died with his city surrounded by the barbarians. And I realized back then they knew there was no political or military hope. It was just a matter of time. And I realized in every era of the church, there's been legitimate concerns where God has led his people through, and courage is a need in every age.
Wow. All right, when we come back, and Gary, we're going to let you go here in a second, but when we come back, we'll tell you who's getting a copy of the book, and I'm sorry we can't take more phone calls because we're basically out of time here. But, Gary, I want to give you a chance to maybe just recap for a bit, because anyone who tuned in the last 10 minutes is like, wait, I want to know more about what he's describing here, but they didn't get a chance to hear you set it up. So if you could just quickly reiterate what The Glorious Pursuit is about.
Thank you. The Glorious Pursuit is about growing spiritually by using the virtues as spiritual barbells, spiritual weights, that we can become more like Christ bit by bit as we follow what Peter says to make every effort to add to our faith. They're the markers of who Jesus was. It explains why we should value them, how we can begin to practice them, and how in the process of doing that, God gives us our life back. It's not a legalistic exercise. It's the path to freedom, peace, and joy.
So huge. The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. It's from NAV Press, and you can obviously get it online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, that kind of thing, at Cornerstone Bookshop in North York. And I really want to encourage you to go to GaryThomas.com. You got two blogs there. You're on Instagram, Facebook, everything else. Gary, you're a wonderful friend, man, and it's good to catch up with you. I'm glad to hear you're doing well.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's always good to hear your voice.
All right. Well, God bless you, and you're welcome back. Let's get you back sometime soon. I don't want to wait a whole other year. All right?
Absolutely.
Because
thank you,
because I haven't developed patience yet, we're going to get you back sooner rather than later.
You're great.
All right.
Thank you,
God
Neil.
Bless you. Bye-bye.
Bless. Okay.
You too. Gary Thomas, he's a teaching pastor at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and like I said, if the name sounds familiar, it's probably because you've heard us talking about it. Just last year, he was in the Toronto area doing a seminar on When to Walk Away, which was one of his more recent books. Sacred Marriage is another one, Sacred Pathway, and a variety of others from Gary Thomas. Go to GaryThomas.com for details. This book is called The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. We'll be back with more of NBL in a moment. We'll tell you who gets a free copy of the book. Congratulations, Winston. We pulled your name from the hat, so you're going to be getting a copy of The Glorious Pursuit, Becoming Who God Created Us to Be. And I believe obedience was the word that you used. You'll find that discussed in detail here in this book from Gary Thomas. It's in chapter 17, page 191, where obedience is talked about. And some of these other issues, courage, chastity, you know, patience, they're all described here as things that God may be wanting to address in each of our lives, and how we can learn to surrender those areas to him so that he can fulfill his plan and purpose in us, so that we would become who God created us to be. And as that process is occurring, I believe you're going to see a whole lot more people in the body of Christ then understanding what God created us to be, meaning, you know, radio talk show host, business owner, author, right? Somebody involved in the service industry, an insurance agent, or a pastor, or a missionary, whatever it is we were created to be, well, ultimately we'll find what that is. But in the process, God wants to make us the person who can adequately fulfill that calling in our lives. And so he's wanting to work on us from the inside out.